Blog Talk Radio.
Best-selling author,
helping high-performing CEOs and entrepreneurs who don't know how to be distinctive in their marketplace to become extraordinary and dominate their market ethic. Her simple money-making brand packaging helps her clients to get noticed so that people hire them, their impact is greater, and they can get paid their worth. She is also the host of the top 10 rated podcast on iTunes. The Pretty and Profiting Show focuses on branding, beauty, business, and how to build your empire. You want to learn more about working directly with Nicole, you can visit her at profitablepersonalbrand.com. But before you go there, we want you to listen in as we welcome in our guest, Nicole. Nicole, welcome to the Native Guy Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Enoch. I'm so happy to be here to talk to your audience.
Thank you. And we're so glad that you're here. So did you pick up on the mantra that we were giving about all those that different things that we are? What were the things that they all have in common?
Well, what they all have in common is that they are all influential, buzzworthy, and profitable brands. And what that really means is they are companies, they are businesses that we all want to do business with, that we gladly hand over our money to because we trust and love the services and products that they provide.
Exactly. And that's one of the things about it. So, Nicole, before we start getting really into this, let's learn a little bit about you. What got you into brand marketing, and actually what was the start of your career?
Sure. So I'll give you the short version of it. I hope it's the short version. So, you know, going back almost 20 years ago, I'm telling my age now, I was around 11 years old working for my entrepreneurial parents. And I was really their Jane of all trades, but mainly, you know, the paper pusher and the janitor. So those were my two main jobs. But I was exposed to entrepreneurship from a super early age, and I got to go to business conferences with them and entrepreneurial conferences way before it was such a big buzzword. And really, I got exposed to that pretty early on. So I still went to college and studied finance, even though I knew from, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old that I wanted to own my business someday. And I kind of took it as this approach of someday, meaning, you know, sometime in the future, but not really having a concrete date on it. And because I graduated high school at such an early age, I graduated at 16, I really didn't know how to pick, you know, a major that would determine my career. So I really just took my love for business stemming from, you know, being around entrepreneurship and my love for math. I always excelled in math and said, okay, that seems to equal studying finance. So I went to college, chose finance, graduated, jumped right into the investment banking world in New York. So I first worked at the Verizon Pension Fund.
Wow.
Before moving on to Dow Jones. So at Dow Jones, it's really where, you know how they say the straw that broke the camel's back? Or I don't know
yeah.
exactly how they say that, but it was really like where my back was against the wall, and I was just so miserable. I mean, I was crying every single day going to work and really just asking myself, like, how does it make sense to sit in traffic an hour each way every day to spend 13 hours of my day, Monday through Friday, being so miserable? It just didn't add up. But what really made me have to make some really life decisions, and I'm like 24 years old at this time, was my doctor put me on disability for severe anxiety and depression from that job. So if any time was a time to start my own business and say, this is the light bulb, this is the where the seeds are parted for you to start your own business, it was that time, because nothing in me could have sent another resume out, you know, put on another suit to do another interview to go back into the finance world. Like, nothing in me could do that. So I just took that 6 weeks off and just did everything. I created my master plan. I got my website up. I emailed about 100 of the top New York City makeup artists and people in the fashion industry to see who would take me on as an assistant, apprentice, intern, whatever it was, because
wow.
it was really like a sink or swim kind of thing for me. So I launched my beauty consulting business at, you know, during my time in disability. But what was happening was I started getting a lot of clients who were women CEOs, women entrepreneurs, people in business that needed to create a signature look that tied to the business that they were building to really elevate their leadership status and how they showed up publicly. And those beauty consulting sessions really turned into like business strategy, brand strategy, because although I was working on their physical appearance, I had so much knowledge. We're talking like from 11 years old sitting in business conferences up to this point that I was just like, what is this thing that I'm doing? Because it's not like, the beauty part of it is like such a small fraction of what I'm doing with my clients. Of course, I'm not getting paid for it, but it was good practice. So
yeah.
It took me a few winters in New York, you know, getting up at 4 a.m. in 16-degree weather to go and do like a 12 or 13-hour photo shoot or video shoot or fashion show or whatever. And I was just like, it just felt like it was time to evolve and like, really explore what this thing was, because I really didn't feel like I was using all of my skills. And so I hired a mentor at that point, and he was just like, Nicole, what you're really doing is helping people build their brand, and you don't even have a business set up around it. And it took me hiring that mentor and paying him a lot of money to really say, okay, let me, you know, evolve into my next level of my career, which is a brand consulting business, and it's been amazing ever since. So that's the short version of it, Iman.
That is a great version. So it sounds like you've been around the business for a long time, and it looks like it's just things started to fall in place. So, you know, as you are building your brand and getting that brand out, you know, one of the things we want to ask you with when you were building it, why was having a brand plan so important, especially when you were building your business?
Well, honestly, I didn't know, you know, that I called it a master plan at that time when I was on disability. I didn't have a concept or a definition of what a brand was at that time, but essentially that's what it was. And it was a plan, you know, like earlier when you started the show, you named a few well-liked companies that we all know. And it's really the same idea of how do I get my business to a point where it's influential, like I can say something, like you go from Kanye West to an Apple, philosophy behind what makes them stand out. So it's really like I knew I needed to get in media, and not just any media, reputable media, because I didn't have 15 years for my career to kick off. I knew I was not going back to finance. So I was like, what are the opportunities to make that happen? And I also said, I have to do some things out the box. I'm naturally like a risk taker. I'm naturally a rebel. So I just said, I'm not going to go the traditional route. So I did things like, I remember one day I got like the college brochure for my local college in town, and I was like browsing through it, and I'm like, they don't have any beauty or makeup classes. So I was like, okay, let me call the dean of the school tomorrow and see if she'd be open to, you know, having hiring an adjunct professor to talk about beauty. She called me up as soon as I sent the email, and she's like, I would like to meet with you. And we had the meeting, and she hired me on the spot. Never before was there in the whole state of New Jersey a 3-hour class taught on makeup and beauty. And it was just all because I took a risk to ask, because I didn't give myself any other choice. But essentially, it was a brand plan. It's like, how can I get in front of the right people? How can I, when I get in front of them, they know that I'm legit off the bat. Okay, I need to be featured in media. So I worked with eHow, did a few DIY tutorials for them, got featured on the site. They set me up with a producer. I networked, and that led me to being featured in a HarperCollins book. I mean, HarperCollins is one of the top publishers of books worldwide.
Yeah.
It just all flew together. And because of that, you can say, okay, my fees are this. Because now people see you as legit, and they want to do business with people who are legit.
That's a key thing. I picked up on what you said about the risk when you were starting. because as we were talking about the brand plan and important is that risk that you do have to build and what you're doing for building your brand, because, you know, not everybody bought into the plan that Coca-Cola was going to be a good thing, but they took the risk and now look at it. And it, and that's, is that the same thing that you did with what you're doing in your business as it grows, correct?
Yeah, it's the same thing I am doing in my business. And what's great is everybody I work with, all of my clients, I am teaching them the exact strategies that I'm using. Because at the end of the day, you want to be positioned. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a teacher, a copywriter, if you, you know, you're working on the next Facebook. You need to position yourself as the only solution for a particular group of people. That's it. So if you look at Coca-Cola and Pepsi, each of those brands have loyal groups of people that only drink their products. If you ever so dare look at, you know, other brands, you might get, you know, shot from somebody else in the tribe because you're disloyal to the brand. So entrepreneurs have to take that same approach. I need to position myself to be the only solution for this group of people. And that really makes you narrow down who you are going to work with. Who is your solution for? Because you can't work with everybody, and you can't be the solution, you know, for everybody either.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because not all businesses are able to do that. So let's ask you this. How can business owners create an authentic brand experience in their business? Because as we already brought up, you do have to have a risk. There is risk involved because you want to get your brand out there, but you got to make sure that how do we get this authentic brand experience in this business when we're doing this?
Right. So, and that's a great question, Enoch. So creating an authentic brand experience starts with you defining what are the emotions I want people to feel with my brand. So if we go back to Coca-Cola and even McDonald's is happy. They're not really selling, you know, a McChicken or a can of soda. They are selling happiness. They are selling relationships. When the Super Bowl was going on, I mean, those two companies specifically did excellent jobs with their commercials, and I was actually doing some brand messaging posts on Facebook as the commercials were playing, because you have to look at the emotions that companies are selling and define what you are selling, because people buy on emotions. They want to know that you understand where they're coming from, and they want you to know, they want to see that you know the desired result they want. So if you want to build a brand that's around fun, around excitement, around being confident, understand what you are selling. I sell brand strategy. I sell how to build your brand and set it up properly so that you have consistent clients coming in and cash coming in. But under all of that, I am selling confidence. I am selling permission to be yourself as a CEO. I am selling excitement. I'm selling a few other emotions that's underneath that, and that comes from me being clear on the brand experience. I want everybody that comes through my online doors and even offline doors, so through my podcast, website, social media, and even in person, I'm clear on what I want them to experience when they're around my brand. So it starts with you saying, what are the three top emotions I want my brand to give anybody that comes in contact with it, specifically the group of people you're going after, and keeping track that is actually happening. And keeping track is simply asking. So ask people, like, what do you like about my brand? I remember, like, 2 years ago, the best exercise I did was I asked 25 people. I was actually doing, I can't remember, I think I was working with one of my old mentors at that time. He was like, you need to do a gut check-in. Ask 25 people, how do they perceive you and how do they perceive your brand? Because it needs to be a connection.
Yes.
If there's a gap, if there's a big difference, you need to go back to the foundation of things. So it really starts with, what do you want to build? What are the emotions that you want to create for your brand?
And that's key. We have to create for our brand. So when we're talking about brand, and we were going to have a guest on previous about telling stories for our business, and it kind of goes along with this question. Why should we create a brand story, especially if we're trying to get started with maybe like what I'm doing, broadcasting or podcasting, to make this type of episode stand out. That's the key, you know, mm-hmm. making this brand. And that's what if I were to take Native Guy podcast to stand out, you know, how would I do create a story? What are some ways that you've suggested clients who come visit you can help create their stories?
So the reason why, and that's a super great question because this is something I preach all the time. The reason you need a brand story is because it's one of the top three ways that you will stand out in your market. So let me tell you why. I don't want to keep saying I don't care because it's not that I don't care. But it doesn't matter. So I'll switch it up a bit. It doesn't matter what expertise you come with. If you're a teacher, there's at least another 1 million people with teacher certifications. If you're an accountant, there's at least a million other people with CPA certifications. It's the same thing when I was in Wall Street. It was a dog-eat-dog world because everybody's fighting for that promotion. Guess what? We mm-hmm. all have the same degree. We all have the same work ethic. We all have the same smart. What makes you stand out? When it comes to business, it's your brand story. It's not so important in a corporate 9-to-5 world, but it's super important as an entrepreneur because you can't say, oh, I'm an accountant. We have the lowest rate, okay? Somebody else is saying the same thing. What is your story for being an accountant for, you know, recent graduates of college? Well, your brand story could say, well, when I graduated college, I got myself into, you know, $100,000 worth of credit card debt. I had to pull myself out of that, and I did it in 3 years. And the reason I work with this group of people is because I don't want them to make the same mistake. I don't want them to have to spend 20 years trying to get out of credit card debt, to repair their credit card, I mean, credit score and all of that good stuff, and not being able to buy a house and, you know, starting their marriage on a rocky foot that's, you know, under a pile of debt, et cetera. Because she shared her brand story, people can now relate. That target audience and say, oh, she's the person for me.
Key, you know, making that brand stand out. So we're getting, wow, our time is really flying by, surprisingly. We're moving right along here. So as you've created your brand, you've created it because I've really enjoyed some of the things I've read on your website here about content marketing, because those are key things that some of us, and some of the points you made out about millions of other people in the same thing, looking, wanting to stand out in the same way, those are key things that we got to focus on. So how do we create this fame name?
The fame name?
Yes.
Okay. I was just making sure I heard you right. Okay, so the fame name, it's really like your personal headline, right? So there are some people. So if we look at, you know, the late Steve Jobs, he's related, closely related to the Apple brand, but he doesn't have a fame name around it. So if you look at people like Allie Brown, she's a veteran in the entrepreneurial world. She started out calling herself the Easy and Queen. I have another colleague, her name is Stephanie Wong. Her personal headline, a.k.a. fame name, is she's the social media queen. If you go on TV, if you watch HGTV, there's the Property Brothers, and they work on, obviously, property. But it's your personal headline so people can refer to you as. I don't think everybody needs a fame name, but it's a great strategy to employ if you want to be known for something super, super fast, and if you can come up with something clever. Because if you can't come up with something clever and it comes out clunky, I would suggest just not going with it. Until you know, you might have an idea in the shower that's perfect. If it's, you know, run it through at least 3 people first to make sure it's not clunky, and then I would suggest going ahead and using it.
Interesting. So, wow.
Like, it should be on everything. Your bio, your about page, your videos, your social media, your signature. Own it. Like, don't just have it for sometimes. If you're going to have a fame name, own it.
Own it. Own that fame name. That's the key. Mm-hmm. And, wow, like I say, Nicole, this is some great stuff because as we are moving to the last few minutes here of our programming, we know you've got a pretty busy schedule yourself. And before we let you go and we run off into different programming, where can other people come and learn more about you and even keep in contact with you at?
Sure. So the first thing I want everybody listening to do is I want you to go and check out my podcast show, which is the Pretty and Profiting Show. I know Enoch mentioned it earlier, but I really dive into everything branding as it relates to business, as it relates to building your empire. And I give all of my tools and strategies. I give you the real deal. So I would like you to check out that show. It's at prettyandprofiting.com, and we're on iTunes and Stitcher. And I'm easy to find on social media. I'm Nicole K. Lundy everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, all of that good stuff. And on YouTube, Nicole K. Lundy TV.
Yes. And we do want you to go and find her because there is some very valuable, I have found some very valuable stuff, Nicole, I tell you what, and I've been enjoying the podcast that you have up. They are very insightful and learning because, like I said, marketing is something that I enjoy. It's something new that I'm trying to pick up because it's key. It's part of business, and it's part of making business successful. Are there any final words you'd like to leave with our audience today?
Final words. My final words would be is to go to a Starbucks or go to wherever you like to brainstorm and really get clear on the vision that you want your brand to be. Don't worry about following the crowd or what seemingly is working or following the formula. Really stick to your guns and be creative. And if nobody else has done it exactly how you did it before, then you're on the right track. You're actually on the right track when you have a unique way of doing something. And I want you to stick with it and make sure you build it out.
Awesome. But let's get that website one more time.
So the show is on prettyandprofiting.com, and then my website is profitablepersonalbrand.com.
Again, we really appreciate you joining our taking time out of your busy schedule, Nicole, and joining the Native Guy broadcast. Such an informal and insightful conversation. We do hope you have a wonderful day today.
Thank you. You too. And thanks for having me.
Thank you. And we'll let you go. And we do appreciate each and every one of you listening in to the Native Guy broadcast. We are going to end our program with a little bit of Doug Brenny's Super Country Cowboy. Enjoy.
Daddy like George Jones, Haggard and Buck Owens. Mama like the Eagles and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. When I was just a little kid, I became a hybrid, super country, evangelic, rockabilly, psychedelic cowboy. There's a new ranch on the family tree, and it all starts right here with me. Evangelic, rockabilly, psychedelic cowboy. I'm a twisted, shouting, achy, breaky, what's to move on you right now, boy? Get up out of your seat, there's a new ranch on the family tree. It all starts right here with me. Said it was the devil's tongue that censored him on Sullivan. Now he's loved by everyone. There's an FM evolution, country music revolution, LP, CD, ripped from your MP3.